teaching, I think, tonight. And I'm going to run through some terms. But before I do, this was something that came to me. And I awoke with these two words that were in my spirit. And so they really filled my spirit. And I haven't got away. I have not preached this or taught it here since I have been here. But I don't think I would do this on Sunday because I have to take some time. So if you're impatient tonight, that may not be a good place for you tonight. But if you got a Devo and you got it recorded and whatever show you're recording, thank God for technology, huh? So I never care about Devo really until football season. So that's why I have such peace on Sundays. So I can go forever because I Devoed. Amen. Some of you are not getting that one. So, all right. So here's what the Lord spoke to me. Can I share with you what God shared with me? And here was the two words that I woke up. I had the very first thoughts. Anytime God does this, I know it's God's thoughts. I know it's not my thoughts. Amen. I know it's not the devil's thoughts because the devil never speaks faith in the same sentence when he's speaking to you. Everybody say amen. The devil never uses the word faith when he talks to you. Okay. Anytime that he speaks of his faith, it's always fear. So, amen. The two words that came to my spirit that I woke immediately was the words fate or faith. Fate or faith. And here is what the Lord spoke to me. These are the words that were in my head this morning, even as I was beginning to awake. Is my life slated to a predetermined destiny? Is my life slated for a predetermined destiny? Or do I have free will to choose? In my life, a series of struggles. Is my life a series of struggles, heartaches, and crises with intermittent moments of happiness? That's a question. I think it's a question a lot of people ask. I think it's a question that a lot of people asked in that context. And somebody said, well, Pastor, I have a sure answer. I don't know if a sure answer is what we need here. What we do need is we need the Word of God, which is the only sure answer. And I'm going to be going over a lot of terms tonight. I'm going to be talking about predestination. I'm going to be talking about Calvinism and Arminianism. And I'm going to just briefly do it. I'm not going to do a whole teaching on it. But briefly going to be talking about free will. I'm going to be giving you a lot of scriptures. If you don't have your Bible, you're going to be really bored tonight. So if you have your Bible, if you have your electronic piece of equipment that you want to get it out, you know, it would always behoove you, especially on Wednesdays, to bring it. It's not a word of condemnation, okay? But it is a word that on Wednesdays, this is midweek manna. And I do on Wednesdays what I can't do on Sundays. Everybody say that. Amen. I do on Wednesdays what I can't do on Sundays. I can take my time. Okay. Sundays is a cultural mix of people. We're almost one-third, one-third, one-third. We're almost one-third black, one-third brown, one-third white in our church right now. So we are almost completely divided, but we have multiple cultures that are coming into our body. They're all feeding from different tributaries that are coming in. It's what God spoke to me. God spoke to me that would be our church. And it will continue to grow and expand in that degree, even more so than what you're even seeing now. And you will see many come from the north, the south, and the east, and west, and they will all come for a reason. That's why that we are preparing for eldership now, not for another day. So we're preparing for eldership now to prepare for the growth that is coming into the house, to sustain the weight of the growth that's coming in. So that's why that we are doing what we're doing right now. So it's not going to be at a certain point we will move quickly, and there'll be a lot right now. There are faces here that so many faces that are coming quickly. Many of you don't even know those people's names. And I can tell you that there are many people who are looking at our church right now. Many people who are hungry, who are in the valley of decision, and who are looking at our churches. I cannot tell you the people. I just ministered to a girl today who had went to another church and she had a bad experience. Wow, isn't that unusual? And some of you probably may have or will have a bad experience with me. But here's the difference. The difference is that I'm not speaking it. I'm saying a truth. That's the difference between me and other preachers, is that you have human beings. And if you get and have the wrong relationship, then there'll be times you'll look at me and you'll have a certain expectation. And if that expectation is based upon the perimeters that you've set up and not what we have set up, you can be disappointed and you can have your feelings hurt. That happens. The difference is I'm not running any place. I've never ran from any conflict in this house. I've not ran from any offense in this house. I'm not planning to, not going to. And the reason being is because I'm here. It would be no different in my own house that if my wife, which, you know, gets offended at me or my kids get offended at me, I'm not going to leave and hide or procrastinate about dealing with those issues. You never, even in business, I never procrastinated. I never not answered my phone. I always answered. And my philosophy was this. I would rather deal with the problem today, with one problem, than to deal with the five problems that this one problem will create the next 2 days. So it's better to deal with the problem now than it is to procrastinate. It always is. And it doesn't mean that you always have an answer, but you deal with it to have a course of action forward, always. Now, that doesn't mean that's always in your time frame. Doesn't mean that it's always going to be, you know, well, we demand an answer, or I need an answer now. You know, that's not always the case. Because unless we have wisdom in a matter, doesn't mean that we can decide a matter. Wisdom is the ability to be able to discern the season that you're in. If you can't discern the season that you're in, then you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be upset. You're going to get into hopelessness. If you are in a season and you haven't discerned that season and you haven't heard from heaven, then you're going to have a tough time walking in faith in the season that you're in. Because here is the question you'll ask. You will have those questions. Well, is this fate? Is this the luck of the draw? Is this coincidence that's going on in my life? You know, what is my belief system? What do I believe? That's part of what we're dealing with on Sundays, is we have all of these different teachings and cultures that are flowing in together. So when all those people begin to flow in together, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to respond. Because in their culture, they responded a certain way. In the place where they worship, they responded a certain way. But see, now they're in a different place. Well, how do I respond? How do I act? You know, how do I have relationship? Because all of those people invested themselves in other relationships. How many hears what I'm saying? So I just had a church that I know about that is out west. And that church at one time was running 700-800 people. They began to explode. They needed a place. Okay? And so they had a financial company that they were dealing with, an investment company, that they were investing their money in. So the people in the congregation took their money and began to invest so they would have money to build this sanctuary. Well, guess what happened? The financial institution tanked. See, what did they do, Pastor? They trusted in horses and chariots. See, you can't trust in horses and chariots. You can't look to a thing. We were offered something while we've been here at the church. And it was in this, and the person who offered it was a very honest and sincere person. And they had, and in looking at it, you wanted to invest thousands of dollars because the return on it was going to be, you know, a massive magnitude of return. Well, we never felt the liberty or the freedom to invest. Well, guess what? That thing did not turn the way that they thought it was going to as quickly. And the person who told us said, you know, these are only factors. These are only numbers that were thrown that it could be. How many hears? No guarantees. But that's why you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's why you have to have wisdom in your life. Because before you might run to something, and you know, and the Bible talks about get rich schemes. So if you're not careful, your life is governed by, you know, by a mentality, what we would call a pathology of thinking, an emotional pathology. That is that you have a set way, as they have, and that's what pathology is. When you have, when a forensic individual has studied pathology to take that body and a certain pathology they follow, a certain system they follow to come to certain conclusions. How about I say that? Conclusions. Conclusions are the result of pathology. Your mental pathology is what brings you to conclusions. That's why that sometimes somebody will look at you and you go, Come on, how many's ever experienced it? Somebody looked at you cross-eyed in church. Come on, how many's ever experienced that? How many honest folks do we have? Looked at you cross-wise, you know, you're like, Well, we know what they think. No, you don't. They may have a gas bubble. What do you, you know? You know, they may have been hungering for pickles, and they had a jar. I love pickles. I love those little dill pickles, man. I get a jar of this. There's no calories. How many knows there's no calories in dill pickles? How many did not know that? Sodium. Who didn't know? Oh, forget about sodium. God will cover sodium if there's no calories in it. No, Mary. No. No, you cannot enter into my pathology. You stay in your pathology. You cannot rule in my pathology. Pickles are in my life. Okay? So anyways, before I was interrupted, I love those pickles. How do you know what somebody was doing? You can't know the heart of somebody. Well, the Bible says we're to judge and to discern. Well, no, man. That's not discerning. That's not the gift of discernment. That's the gift of suspicion. See, that is the gift of presumption, presumptuousness, in the fact that you're presuming that's how somebody feels. Well, that person never has liked me. That person's never hugged me. They've never shut my hand. They've never shut my hand. Maybe they're germ-phobic. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The thing of it is that in that context, if your pathology is in that way, then what you do is you, the kingdom pathology and the mind, because what we think is as our spirit goes, so does our life, but that's not the case. It's how our thinking goes is how goes our life. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So a man's thinking is imperative. And it's not, you know, talking about, you know, male, you know, as far as male, female. It's talking about mankind. So when he's talking about, in that context, he's talking about in that ability. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if your pathology is, okay, why are these things happening to me? Why has this happened to our family? See? Why do we have it? You look back at the history. Look at the chain of events that goes on in your life. Why are these bad things? Why are these negative things happening? Why do they happen in my life? And I think, you know, from time to time, I'm not taking and designating unless the Holy Spirit allows me to, because the needs are so great here. I have to hit something, and I have to hit it. Then I have to go to something else. And then I come back because I believe I have to plant seeds. Because I know that when I first came, I couldn't teach this way. So there's a growth spiritually that is happening. There is a restoration. Some of you, your knowledge that has been there, that lay dormant for years, is being restored back to you. The door is being opened that now you have hope. Hey, I can believe that. Somebody will agree with me about that scripture now. Okay? So we're trying to look for conclusions. And so is my life slated to predetermined destiny? And we're destiny and predetermination, predestiny. That is destiny that has been set. So here is destiny, a word that definitely that is floating around the body of Christ. How many knows that? Amen? And so here, or do I have free will to choose my destiny? Is my life a series of struggles, heartaches, and crises with intermittent moments of happiness that I'm only really promised? I have these series of battles and heartaches and troubles that I have, and then intermittently we have a break in the sky and the sun comes out. Come on, how many knows this is how a lot of people feel internally, but don't verbalize it? Is my life slated for that? So here's the word fate. The word fate, the definition, it's not the Bible definition. I'm going to get into some other things here before I leave. So let's take it one thing at a time. The word fate, it's an event or a course of events that will inevitably happen in the future. Now, I'm not saying this. I'm telling you, this is how the world defines fate. Okay? So fate is an event or a course of events that will inevitably happen in the future. That means that fate has already determined. There's a course of events that have been set for your life that has been saved because that is your fate. And so some people are fated to succeed. Other people are fated to fail. And it's very closely assimilated to Calvinistic teaching. And we'll get into that in a minute. The ultimate agency that predetermines the course of events. And it's interesting because this is often personified as a woman. So when we talk about fate, she's always talked about as a woman. Isn't that interesting? Not going to get into it. Number three. Your overall circumstances or conditions in life, including everything that happens to you. So you can see that even though that you have not written down a definition, how many understand that this can become the pathology of your thinking? Well, Pastor, but how can we be a Christian and we can think this? Because we don't realize that until that pathology is changed, you don't think it's wrong. Because that's the way you were raised. That's the way you think. That's the way that you solve problems. That's how you resolve issues. That's why you can't resolve certain issues. That's why you can't resolve issues with your spouse or with your children or with other people. Why people can't resolve issues at all. Why that some people, you know, are willing to open and to set and other people hide. Why some people are open, other people are defensive. Why? Because that is a pathology of thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, in the seat of his emotions, so is he. So if the mind is there, and that is the pathology, it's not that every time that you sit down and you process it through your mind, well, I just did it and I think it's this and 1, 2, 3 and A, B, C. No, that's not how it is. It is intertwined in your emotions. Because your soul realm, which is your intellect, your emotion, and your will realm, the thread of that weaves itself into your lifestyle. See, there are certain things you don't think about. When you reach to get a cup of coffee, your mind doesn't say, you don't say to yourself, the process is, reach out, curl your fingers around the cup, and pull it to your mouth, open your lips, and sip carefully. How many go through that process? No, you don't. The process is already set. So instinctively, what we're talking about in saying that process, it took a minute, but nanoseconds, boom, 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 your mind, your brain immediately told you what to do in a matter, boom, that fast. All of those things. For you to cross your leg, for you to scratch your head. See? For you to blink your eye. So if it is that ability for the brain to be able to do that, then the mind, which is unrenewed, or that mind that is developed in a pathology that is twisted, or that pathology that has been twisted by certain circumstances or traumas or situations in their life, or by disappointments, or just simply because that's the way it was in our house. And no matter that we said to ourselves, well, you know what? I'm not going to be that way. My house ain't going to be that way. But how many can hear your mother speak, your father speak out of your mouth? You'll say things. Come on, how many? How many can hear your dad speak, your mom speak out of your mouth? Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. How many can do that? How many can't? Raise your hand. You never hear your mom or dad speak. Amen. How about your spouse sitting next to you? You heard your mother-in-law speak. You heard your father-in-law speak. Sure you do. Sure you do. See, in that context, we're not talking about certain segments. We're talking about that is... See, I haven't even got in depth into the Word. I am telling you how physiologically your mind works. That's how your mind works. Your mind works because your mind is trained. Over your lifetime, your mind is trained in that constant. So if it is not that somebody sat down and they said and got a blackboard and a piece of chalk and said, today I'm going to teach you on faith, or I'm going to teach you on humanism, or I'm going to teach you on Calvinism, or I'm going to teach you on Arminians, or I'm going to teach you on free will, or I'm going to teach you on that. It doesn't mean, and maybe in certain circumstance, it was. It's because that through lifestyle, through watching and observing other people make decisions, other people living their life, we don't always, the majority of our lessons that we learn and how we develop our demeanor and how we develop our way of thinking, our values, our morals, is not by necessarily what somebody told us all the time, but what we observed. We observed that. We observed those actions. In that moment, that was the action. So therefore, that's why we say, you're just like your... Are you? No. No. Because if you're born again, the new nature, the new creation, is living on the inside of you. Well, then, Pastor, why doesn't it dominate? Because you've not developed the pathology of the new creation yet. Because the dominance is not it. It's not the dominant factor in your life. Whatever is dominant in your heart is what controls you. And if that becomes the issue, it's there. That's why that I say, why do we get upset when a dog acts like a dog? You know? You know, we call it baby and sweetie and honey and bubbles and puppy and whatever. And Jennifer's not here, but I can tell you, that dog she has, I mean, those are her children. And because she hasn't had children, that puppy is her child. Even Matt knows you do not. That's her baby. She'd snap him like a twig. I'm telling you. She's enough like me. That's her baby. You don't touch that baby. Calls almost every day. Her mother, Miss Detail Oriented, Miss, once she gets a mission, she's on it like a dog on a bone. I'm after that mission. She's got it lined in her head. She's got that thing solidified. But her daughter, every day, well, how's Pooey doing? No, he's alive. Now, that would be my answer if she called me. He's alive. He's not dead. He's over there in the house someplace. We take him out to potty. We give him some water. Give him some food. But that's why she doesn't assign that to me. She assigns it to her mother. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? But that is a pathology of thinking. In that, she is like her mother. In that, she is like her mother in that sense. But I want you to understand that becomes that pathology. So if that is our thinking, then how can we not... And I know that these things are coming out of my spirit now. Okay, so I'm just telling you. So in it, how can we say this is not going to affect our relationships? How can we say that those things are not affecting our relationships? So what we have to come to the revelation. And that's why Jesus said, man, when He came, that's why the Holy Spirit has been given. Are you hearing me? We make such an ado about the tongues, but the tongues ain't nothing without the other part of Him. You may have Him. That, you know, I may have, you know, who's the billionaire that was the recluse in Nevada, the billionaire? Howard Hughes. I could have Howard Hughes stuck and captive in my house in a closet someplace. Are you hearing me? But that doesn't make me a billionaire. It just makes me a kidnapper. And a little weird. And just because we say we have something doesn't mean that we have it. You can have something, but it doesn't mean... I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but just because you have something doesn't mean you have it. That's why that Paul says, look, it's not about, when they use the word knowledge, having a full knowledge, he means a full understanding of the mystery of Christ. It's not just the fact that you can quote that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is that you know that He is the hope of glory on the inside of you. And because you know that, you have an assurance that other people don't have. And so that affects your thinking. Whatever you have revelation on, whatever you have rhema on, whatever you have rhema on, it divides your soul and your spirit. It separates your emotions. It separates your thoughts. When you have revelation, you're able to bring every thought and to cast down every imagination. You know it's an imagination. When that thing arises, that thought begins to arise, that unrenewed thought arises out of you, out of your mind, out of that part that has not been submitted, and it arises and that fear arises. If you have a rhema about whatever you're dealing with, you have the capacity to take that thought and bring it into the captivity of the mind of Christ. And say, no, that's not how it is. But if you don't have that rhema, if you don't have that revelation, then you live out the pathology of your fears and your mindset of fate. Amen? I mean, I just got done telling the doctor the other day, why do I got to see you? Oh, I know you don't think I said that, but I said that, didn't I? So why do I got to see you? You're not going to cut on me. You want to know why you're not going to cut on me? Because I know God has a purpose. And what you want to do can cause me to lose my voice. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. And I said to his physician's assistant, I said, look, I said, I love coming and talking to him. But the conversation ain't going to be any different on the phone or in his office. And I said it nicely, in love. Are you hearing me? See, my pathology of my thinking about certain things. So therefore, I could be accused of being narrow-minded. That I've been brainwashed. And I have to tell you, I have. My brain has been washed by the Word of God. My brain has been washed by the Word of God. And I realize there are certain things that are untrue. I wish that was in every aspect of my life, but it's not. But the aspect that it's not, I allow no condemnation. And I set that and put it under the blood on a constant basis until I have revelation to be able to deal with that. But we, if we have a mindset of fate, okay, that we are fated for this, my mama died, my daddy, my aunt Fizzlewick, you know, she was, hello? You know how it is sitting around the table? You know how it is sitting around a reunion? And all of a sudden you get with people, and all of a sudden people begin to talk. Boy, I got this sharp pain. Yeah, I know. My next door neighbor had that pain, and they were dead in 3 days. Really? All of a sudden, the imagination begins to go up, and you start struggling. Come on. I am preaching the truth to you tonight. I'm preaching the truth to you tonight. What do you want to be? You have to decide, is my life fated or is my life the life of faith? Faith or fated? Fate or faith? Say it with me. Fate or faith? Amen? I'm not even charging you this tonight. This is all free. You're welcome. Fate, used as a noun, is uncommon, so it's never used as a noun. But fate is used mostly as a verb, has one sense. Now listen to this. If you're taking notes, you need to hear this. It means decree or designate beforehand. You see the close assimilation? How many sees the close assimilation? How many, if you don't have your words aright, if you don't have your conversation checked, if you don't have your mind washed in the Word of God, if you don't have your heart set, the enemy will come in. You, whatever is there, that pathology will overrule. Well, Pastor, how do I get rid of that pathology? Because you have to have, that's why that he said, look, I don't think it robbery. Jesus didn't think it robbery, okay, to do it. He said, look, you have to have the mind of Christ to be able to deal with the issues that are there. You have to know what was in the mind of Christ. He didn't make it a secret. He shared with you and then revealed the greater expansion, okay, or the expanded version to the apostles. See, do you know, listen to me, do you know there are some things he could not share with them personally? They weren't able to hear it. Some things he said to them, they could not understand. It wasn't until they were endued by the Holy Spirit that God was then able to open up the revelation. Look at the New Testament filled. You have the Peter after the day of Pentecost and the Peter before the day of Pentecost, and you have a man talking two different ways. Come on now. Before, you have a man who is governed by a certain pathology, a certain way of thinking. He's a broad guy. He's a man's man. He's a guy who's always ready for the fight. But when it came time for the internal fortitude to kick in, he couldn't get it done because he loved his life more than he loved Christ. Come on, somebody help me. Amen? He was the guy who said, hey, no. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in the fray. He even proved it. He pulled out his sword, cut off the ear of the servant. He demonstrated everything. But when it came time, it wasn't the physical act of brevity that was needed there. But in the middle of it, because Jesus even knew internally what was going on inside of him. He knew the weakness that was there. Look, Jesus knows. Jesus lives at the threshing floor of your life. Amen. How many heard it Sunday? Jesus lives on the threshing floor of your life. And he lives there. Why? Because that is where the work of the Holy Spirit happens. He lives there in your life to separate the chaff and the wheat. When you are going through an affliction in your life,
It is your pathology of thinking. It is that which you have developed in your mind that determines your process as you are going through. So if you're going through a storm and that storm got inside of you, then that's why you have been a 10, 15, 20, 30 year storm walking around. I'm preaching a lot better than you're saying amen. Sweet Lord. Amen? It's the truth, isn't it? Because what happens is the boat is stable until what gets in the boat? No, the water. The problem is not the people, because the people can sit and float. But if water starts getting in the boat, what happens? That's what sinks the boat. It's not the problem of going through the storm through whatever vehicle that God has given you. But what happens, people begin to panic because they begin to get water in the boat. Why? For one reason or another, because they're not dealing with it, because there's holes in the boat. But whatever the case is, once it's in there, then that's what sinks the boat. If you're going through a storm, you can't let the storm get inside of you. That's the difference between failing and failure. We all are going to have failings. We're all going to stumble. But the righteous man always gets up. Six times he fails. Six times he stumbles. But on the seventh time, why? Because in the affliction, even though you hated it, even though that you said, God, why did I have to go through it? You don't realize what God did in you in that affliction that you walked through. Why? Because on the threshing floor, when you went to that place and your life was thrown up into the air and your life was scattered and you said to yourself, why? Why is this happening? I want you to know the Holy Spirit was blowing the chaff out of your life. Blowing the chaff out of your life, and the heavy part of your life stayed. It fell back to earth. You need to understand tonight that there is a greater work, a greater reward in the light afflictions that you're going through. God has a greater purpose for your life. And the weight of that glory is working in your life. Well, Pastor, I don't feel it. You're not supposed to feel it. What you need to know is you're still here. But if you're not careful, all you're going to be is a storm chaser. Running after one or another storm in your life. Amen? Amen. How many still with me? So fate, the verb, decree, or designate beforehand. Sure. Who spoke those things over your life? It's not that they spoke. Listen to me. I don't let nobody speak. That's fine. See, it's not the point of somebody speaking. It's the point of receiving. See, we don't even realize that's why the people that are missionaries and people who travel in foreign lands where witchcraft is a lot heavier don't realize that when they are in the heat of battle, the heat of the task at hand, they become weary. They become tired. Doesn't mean that they stop praying, but they become weary, and all of a sudden their body becomes tired or their mind becomes tired. And there's constant distractions, constant people pulling on you. This need, that need, want. And you don't realize in those times you are open. And that's why that witch doctors and witches are able to speak things over missionaries. I cannot tell you the countless missionaries that have died on the field because they could not discern of what was going on. Are you hearing me? So in that same context, we have to be careful. That's why he says, be not weary in well doing. Because if you faint not in due season, are you listening to me? See, how do we keep from being weary? Well, we keep from being weary by not following the pathology of the old way of thinking. Amen? What's the old way of thinking? Well, we know what the old way of thinking is. I did it my way. Amen? That's how we become weary. We don't partner with the Holy Spirit. We don't partner with Him. We haven't learned, because that's a different way of thinking. Because we have to do it ourselves. We have to be independent ourselves. And so that's why we say yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. All the time. But see, we have to learn. We have to discern on not just in the ability to be able to say yes. Discerning to say yes is easy, but sometimes your yes should have been no. And because your yes was not no, you made a wrong choice. I know there are yeses that I made that cost me 13 years of my life. Cost me chunks of my life. And if you're not careful, you'll never get that back. If you're not careful, you'll never get that back, because you will not understand that God wants to restore. That doesn't have to be wasted. God can restore what the enemy has stolen or taken from you. But you have to understand it and see it. Repent, because restoration can't happen until there is... Exactly. Somebody's listening. Restoration can't happen without repentance first. You can't have restoration until there is repentance. Why? Well, because God's not going to invest in restoring you if your heart and your mind hasn't been changed. I mean, God's not stupid. See, God is about investing. See, God is about you being productive, about you being fruitful. That God is about you producing more fruit. God gets no glory about you being empty all the time and being sick all the time and hurt all the time and miserable all the time and depressed all the time. That's not God's plan. And I'm getting ahead of myself. So quit it. So here, fate, the noun. It's an event or a course of events that will happen in the future. Synonyms is destiny or fate, the words that we associate with it. Hyponyms is the kind of a fate, inevitable, an unavoidable event. I had no choice in the matter. Do you see what I'm saying? Fate takes away the what? The free will. It takes away the choice. Fate takes away choice. Another word that we hear today, karma. How many hears that word? Karma, right? You hear people say it on Facebook all the time. You hear other people say, well, that was just karma. Well, this is what they mean. It definitely is from Hinduism and Buddhism. It is the effects of a person's actions that determine his destiny in his next incarnation. Now, the first part is closely associated with what? Reaping and sowing, and the golden rule. Do unto others as... You see what I'm saying? You see how the close proximity. But when we say karma and people say karma, well, darling, that's not what they mean. That means in your next life as a monkey, Gary, you're going to either pay or reap or benefit in that next life. So as a ghost, or as a horse, or as a camel, Rick, or, you know, as a dog, Anthony, or a cat, Nicole, or a fish, you got fish. Maybe that's why, you know, that. See, you understand what I'm saying? See, it is not. So when somebody says it's karma, that is a pathology of thinking. Well, I've got to be careful, because I don't want to in the next life to pay. So it's not about just thinking and doing good deeds. It is the belief system of incarnation, that I have another chance. No, darling, this is your opportunity. How do I know that? Well, because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So there is no. You don't get to be reincarnated. I'm sorry, Gary. You're not going to be able to be a orangutan that you thought that you'd be. And what's, well, I'm sorry. Rick's the camel. Maybe you can ride Rick. You guys can create a whole new act together. How many hears what I'm saying? You see how silly it is, though. You see how silly it is. I mean, in certain countries, people are starving to death, and they won't kill the animals because they think it's their uncle. I guarantee you, if I'm hungry, If I'm hungry, I'll eat my uncle, my aunt, my mama, my daddy. If that's the case, they're dying because that's going to be my meal tonight. The next word that we hear, which comes from Muslims, is the word kismet. That can be spelled K-I-S-M-A-T or K-I-S-M-E-T. Same word, kismet. It means what it says it means. It means fate. It's my fate. That's why they can teach people to be suicide bombers. We say, well, I don't understand why those people are killing themselves. Well, because they believe it's their fate. And they believe that it's their fate, and when they die, they get a reward for their death. I can tell you, there is a lot of surprised people. That's where you get that phrase, it surprised the H-E double hockey sticks out of them. Because when they got there, they were surprised because it wasn't virgins that they found. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? See, this is a pathology. And so that doesn't happen. The bomber down in Chattanooga, that is a pathology of thinking. You say, well, Pastor, it's all spirits. But darling, it don't begin with a spirit possessing a body necessarily immediately. Look, nothing can possess anything unless there is an ability. There has to be something there to attract that spirit. Are you listening to me? Spirits love dry places. What creates dryness in people's lives? What creates dryness in their life is trauma, is hurt, is disappointment, it's rejection. And those crushing blows that happen in their life that they keep secret develops a pathology in their mind and opens them up. And what happens is where you live on love, they live on hate. What fills you with love and motivates you, hate motivates them. And that spirit makes sure after a while they have every reason to hate. That's why that some people act the way they do. Why? Because that is the pathology of their thinking. Amen? Okay, I'm going to get to some scriptures. Will you give me a few more minutes? Predestination means a previous determination as if destiny or fate. I'm going to teach more on this, so I'm just giving you some things right now so that you can have initial notes. And we hear things like the day of reckoning. Okay? The little cute country chick, quarters her dark hair, and that's a phrase in her song. It's a day of reckoning. So I know it's not the phrase, but that is a mindset that there will be a day of reckoning. Well, close proximity of eternal judgments, a day of judgments. Okay, doom, doomsday, end of the world. In context, we are helpless in the face of destiny, is what is taught. So I'm helpless in that. That's my destiny. That's why that some people succeed, why this person got this part, why this person got this job. And so the church, you see what the devil does. So the church talks about favor. It talks about God's divine favor going before you. And what does the devil do? He puts within this fake thing that's their fate. That's why they succeed. Are you hearing me? Or that's why they fail. We can see fate as a part of the occult or the supernatural being for us or against us controlling my destiny. Are you hearing me? See, that's why people give themselves over to the occult, because if they become friends with those spirits, they will help them. And let me share something with you. Those spirits can. They can. They have the ability to talk. They have the ability to move people. Why? Well, because they have the ability. They control thousands of other people, and they can position them to make certain things look like it's fate. Are you hearing me? Are you still with me? So if we are to believe our life is controlled by fate, my overall circumstance or condition in life, that is everything that happens to you, then I have no choice. No choice. If I believe in fate, I have no choice. So if I believe in fate, I have no. If I believe in fate, I have no choice. See, now, let me tell you a couple little tricks here. Here's another little trick. And I noticed that some of you, because pastor's on Facebook a lot, amen, and I'm on there for a reason, to minister and to be able to have a relationship with other people. But I noticed that some people have a innate curiosity of the occult and of the zodiac, the signs, the stars. What is my personal prophecy for today? Now see, let me share something with you. There are people who go to church all the time, been in church all their life, but one of the first things they read when they get a hold of that paper, they turn right down to their sign and see what the stars are saying for their life today. You know what that is? That's fate. That is the pathology of fate. You don't have a choice. This is what's going to happen to you today. So the enemy, if somebody is really possessed by it, make sure that certain things happen so that you can come into agreement with that thought. All of a sudden, there comes solidity to it. Now there's a foundation to it. These people that are on television that can predict people's future, people who can talk to the dead. Look, folks, those all are telling you that there's another world. Why? Because it's a substitute for eternal life. See, I know some people think, well, you know what, Pastor? Those things are harmless. I mean, what's the big deal about reading my horoscope? See, what's the big deal, Pastor? I mean, it's always positive. Is it really? So you, instead of taking something that has been designed, you can't find any one promise in this book overrides any horoscope that might be read, any palm. What? It's fun, Pastor. It's fun. Palm reading. That's fun, Pastor. Karen, her great-grandmother, used to be a tea reader. She would sit around with her relatives and drink tea. And then when she got done, she would take the teacup and she would turn it upside down on the saucer and then lift it up and then read the tea leaves. Are you hearing me? Well, my God, that's my grandma. What could be bad about grandma? Because grandma is going to the first church of the on Second Avenue and has been a member there for 30 years. Well, I don't care. Grandma missed it. And I'm not going down the same road. We need to know what the Word of God says. Is my life a life of fate or of faith? Amen? Now I'm closing with Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Not the end of the series. How many want me to continue to teach on this? Well, I'm not going to. It's not your fate. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read two scriptures. I'm going to read two sets of scriptures to you, but I want to go here first. Amen? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You can see the close proximity of this, can't you? Amen? Where that the enemy comes as close as he can to give you a close assimilation. That's why that most people are deceived by the devil, because they always expect him to come in evil, like Hollywood portrays. We want to see the guy with the claws and the hat and the ugly face. What's his name? I know you know it. Yeah, you know it's Freddy. Come on, right? You've seen some Freddy movies, haven't you? You ever seen any Freddy movies? Huh? Come on now, be honest. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's before she knew the truth. Okay, that was before. That's not now. But see, if that kind of friend, like, whoa, Pat, if I saw that, I'm out of here. Right? Freddie comes through the door. Guess what? New, brand new door back here. Brand new door. Putting a new door, back door in the church. Through the brick wall. Okay? Well, it's easy to do, but that's not how he comes.
He comes as an angel of light. That's why he was able to deceive Eve. He wasn't crawling on the ground. He was standing up. He was a beautiful creature. He was an angel of light. When he talked to her, it wasn't in terms like, "I am your master." What? Who's going to let... Oh, no, thank you. No. That's not how he comes. He comes charming. He attracts. He offers to you. He offers gifts. One time I delivered a girl of a spirit of murder. Delivered a girl, a spirit of murder. But the other spirit was... There was two spirits. The first one I cast out, and it was a friend. Beautiful. Beautiful, I think the name was. And the spirit that I cast out, when I cast it out, it screamed. And when it screamed, it left through the roof, went through the roof. And it was so loud that my kids who were playing a quarter of a mile away heard the scream as it left. But this woman still wasn't free. Well, the reason why is because most spirits that are spirits of abuse always has two. Say, just because you don't see me doing it right now, don't you think I don't know? The reason why is because we have to be careful. We have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We're not ready for a big fight yet, but we're getting there. So anyways, the point of it is that there was another spirit there that was holding on. It wasn't the predominant spirit. This spirit that she first, it was lovely or beautiful. That what this spirit did is that when she was abused by her stepbrothers and her mother-in-law, this spirit that she would go to would comfort her and love her and caress her, and it would take her to this other place. But there was another spirit. It was the spirit of murder. It was birthed in her hatred towards her brothers and her mother-in-law. That spirit was the spirit that protected her and promised her, "I'll let nobody hurt you again." Do you hear me? That spirit hid deep in her. And when I came, and how it happened was that she, afterwards, at first, she's free. But then she's depressed a week later, sitting in another part of the church. And as she's sitting there, she begins to wet on herself, sitting there in chair. This is a full-grown woman. She loses her kidneys. She has no control over it. I know immediately. I asked the Holy Spirit, "What's going on here? This is not normal. Something's happening." I seen her demeanor, her face begin to change. And the Lord said, "There is another spirit you haven't cast out. You have to cast out the root, the strong man." The strong man was not the first one. The strong man is the other one that lay dormant. But because she wants to be free, she struggled with that thing. That's why they threw themselves into the fire. That's why they cut themselves. That's why they tried to kill themselves. Because that's the internal struggle of a demon that is trying to kill, but the soul of the person who wants to be free. That's why they came to Jesus. Because even demon possessed, they wanted to be free. You see? They're not going to say to them, "I want to be free." No, that's necessarily what they're going to say. But we discern the spirit. And I cast that murderous spirit out of her that day. Didn't shout, didn't scream at it. I just commanded it because she was in agreement. And we cast it out. Well, I got your attention. Chapter 11 and verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." Amen? So faith is the substance of things I am hoping for, and the evidence of things not seen. Now, go back with me here to Hebrews chapter 10, 9 through 10. I'm sorry. 9. Chapter 9. Just hold with me just for a second here. Sorry, guys. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. So that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, I'm doing this without notes, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So I'm offering this to you for a reason. Okay? I'm offering this to you for a reason. Because if your destiny is already set, why confess? See, if your destiny is already set, then why did God say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, he should have left the whosoever out of the word of God. See, he should have left the whosoever out. I'm going into some of the doctrines, some of the belief systems. And I'm not saying, look, what other people believe outside these walls, that's up to them. That's not what we believe. That's not what I believe. And as the senior pastor, the visionary, and he that God has commissioned to be able to break down the word of God to teach you, I take that very seriously. I'm saying to you, because I'll tell you why. Because what it'll do, it takes away the initiative to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because then you decide. Then if somebody doesn't get saved, well, they never were intended. If somebody got killed because they walked out in front of the, well, they never, that was never the will of God for them to get saved anyways. That's not true. It's not true. For whosoever shall call. Let's go on. Let's look at the word. So, thine heart, that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, there has to be an act of what? Choice. There has to be a decision. Okay? So, if that's the case, why have any kind of process whereby that I have to make a decision? God just says, look, I've chose you. Look, that's closely associated with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Because they believe there's 144,000 that are only going to be the ones that are going to be redeemed, that are the chosen ones. The rest of them are out of luck. So all those people that they're winning into the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have to, they eventually in the teaching, if they're smart enough, they have to tell them. Because I have been in the Jehovah's Witnesses. I've worked with Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said to them one time, well, what about the ones that are not chosen? He said, they're out of luck. Because there's only 144,000 of us that are chosen. The rest of those people are going to be relegated to the earth. We're going to have a heavenly home. We're going to have a heavenly place. Well, the 144,000 is not a set number as much as it is a type and a shadow. Okay? No, I'm not teaching on that. You're not going to do that. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen? Jumping on down. Verse 13, for whosoever, there's that word again. And that's not a misprint. That's not a misprint, guys. Okay? That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Whosoever. So how many whosoevers do I have here tonight? Amen? How many weighty people? Come on, touch somebody right now and say, you're a heavyweight. Come on. Come on, tell them. I dare you tell a woman. I dare a man look at another woman and tell her, you're a heavyweight. Come on. Come on, I dare you. Shout it at a distance. But the chaff is blown away, and that which is of weight falls to the earth. That only happens at the threshing floor. Amen? Amen. See, a lot of times we don't realize the weight of what's going on in our life spiritually because we expect there to be an immediate revealing, and there isn't. Because what you have to understand, your reward is not always at the present. Your reward sometimes is heavenly. And what is produced... See, let me tell you something. Everybody listen to me just for a few minutes here. If you're not careful, you will be more concerned about the reward that you receive here on this earth than the reward that you're going to receive in the life to come. This is not it, guys. This is not it.
This is not all there is. But this is what we have right now, and God has commissioned us to do something about it. Amen? And to sit idly by and say we're not going to. See, that's why the church is more interested. I sat and talked to somebody this week. Because, I mean, certain people have wanted to for me to get involved in certain things like the NAACP. And I love certain things about the NAACP. But I don't like their political agenda. I can't agree with them about their stance on homosexuality. Do I love them? Sure I do. And anybody that has been in this house that has been homosexual or lesbian that's been in this house, they can never walk out those doors and ever think that I don't love them. I do. Love them. I love them. Amen? And I would to God that every homosexual, every lesbian in town made this their home church. I do. Say, oh my God, Pastor, don't say things like that. I do. I wish they would. I wouldn't have a problem, not one way or another. Mm-mm. Not an instant. Why, Pastor? Because I would rather they sit and listen to the pure gospel every Sunday. And eventually, just think about it. If we had them here and they could hear the word of God, don't you think they would stand a better chance of us interceding and praying that their hearts would be open to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ than us standing on street corners with placards and signs saying how much we hate them? Folks, we're never going. We are not going to move forward by saying how much we hate Obama. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. The man's going to be in office until God wills that he not be in office. Okay? But I think he was put there to awaken us to certain things in America. But to say that that has awakened us to hate our brothers and to hate mankind, that's not what Jesus has called us to. And I can tell you right now, I've been down the political scene. I've been with governors and senators and congresspeople. I've sat with them and ate with them. Was very heavily involved in the Clinton administration with a lot of people in the abortion movement. Was there at the march in Washington. Was there the day that they signed the bill, that Clinton signed the bill in Planned Parenthood. How many remember? Okay. And about abortions. A lot of things now are coming to light about the Planned Parenthood. But I want you to know something, folks. We don't need fodder to hate America. God has not called us to hate. I'm sorry. I don't see it in Jesus. I don't see it in that context. Now, you put me personally. Don't put me in a place to where that you ask me what I personally believe, I'll tell you. But I'm not going to get on Facebook and get on social media and be a hater. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. My whole life is about winning people to Jesus Christ and about discipling the church, and that's what I'm going to do. Now, look, man, I can't